Good morning.
Good morning.
Very thankful to be here today. And I have a few thoughts that the Lord's been talking to me about in the last few months. Brought this at home in more of a form of a Bible study. So there's people from home have heard most of this before. But I trust that it'll be a blessing to every one of us. It's been a blessing to me, and I'm still trying to live it.
Amen.
Like to ask you this morning what your portion is. Everybody has one.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is what you, it's what's allotted to you, what you consider to be yours, what fulfills you, what makes you satisfied in life, what protects you. And as Christians, we say the Lord is our portion, and He's all those things rolled into one.
Mm-hmm.
He's our protector, our defender. He's our source of inspiration and encouragement. He's our strength.
Mm-hmm.
And people that don't have the Lord can't really say that any one thing is their portion. They rely on one thing to give them something here, and they'll rely on something else to be their defender. And some people will try to use... It's amazing to me how many things people use and rely on to be their portion in life.
That's so, brother. That's so.
If you go to Psalm 73 with me, we'll see what Asaph had to say about it. He said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And so he looked around and he saw people who had their portion in something else besides God. And it seemed like it was working really well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Better than it was working for Asaph.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." And you can read down here, and I won't read the whole thing, but in verse 7 it says, "Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish."
Mm.
You ever looked around and kind of observed and it seemed like that other people were prospering more than you? I'm not as healthy as this person. I'm not as affluent. There's people that have a better job than I do. And there's people that are stronger than me. There's people that can that are better at communicating with others than me. And there's people that just have a better life in general. And they have a better situation in life. And why am I in the situation I'm in? Why have the things happened to me that have happened to me? Asaph asked these same questions. And if you go down to the 12th verse, it says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." And so then the conclusion that he came to was, he said, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." So I've been striving to do what's right. Hasn't really been working for me. But then, and there's a whole nother message in this. He said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God." He said, "When I thought to know this," in the 16th verse, "it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God.
Yes.
Then understood I therein." And so I don't really want to dwell on this verse, but this is the key to understanding what Asaph was able to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that he He got a hold, he was able to have contact with God. That's what it means when it says, until I come into the sanctuary, until I came into the sanctuary of God, I went and I was able to get a hold of God. I sought the Lord until I understood what the proper ways are to live and to be. And so I'm thankful that Asaph didn't just go off and say, you know what? This is a waste of time. I'm not going to do this anymore. But instead, he sought the Lord, and that's what you and I need to do. But that's I don't want to spend a lot of time there. It said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. And if you'll give me the liberty, I'm not going to take the time to prove what I'm about to say by the scripture. If you come and ask me later, I can. But the Lord being my helper. But you know why God set people in slippery places? The people that prosper like that? Why? What? It's because the Lord wants to be our portion. All right. And the Lord did not make a way for somebody else to be eternally happy, satisfied, and fulfilled, either in the next life or in this one, mm-hmm. without Him.
That's right, brother.
It says, Amen. In the 22nd verse, he said, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Then in the 25th verse, this is what I want to think about this morning. It says, whom have I in heaven but thee? Thank the Lord that Asaph was able to get a hold of this and to realize how important and what really needed to be his portion in life. Yes. This is what every one of us need to get a hold of in life. Yes. This has kept me through many hard times where I didn't really understand things and things didn't seem to be going. I have to come back to this. The Lord is my portion. And therefore, there's something about I will hope in Him. A scripture. I don't remember where it is. I was wanting to find it. Yeah. Lamentations 3:24. Well, I'm not going to turn to that. I'll just read it because I want to go back to Psalms. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. So sometimes we have to say that when things don't seem to be going like they ought to be in our mind. So he said, in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Yes. So I got to thinking about all the different things that people choose to be their portion in life. There's all kinds of things. I knew a man that chose, I've known many people like this. I work in people's houses, and there are people that money is their portion.
That's right, bro.
It's their source of happiness.
Yeah.
It's their defense. It's their fulfillment in life. It's everything to them. I'd like to read a scripture in Proverbs 23:4. Proverbs 23:4, it says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. There is a deeper meaning to this verse than what's just on the surface here. I know a man, done some work in his house. A very, very wealthy man, probably the wealthiest man I've ever known. Has a house, I think it's around 14,000 square feet. He built it. I built his cabinets, and so I worked in it for months in this house. And got to know this man fairly well. He had everything. He has everything. He's got all the toys, all the luxury, everything that money can buy to a point, he's got it. He's got the expensive cars. He's got the expensive furniture, the TVs, everything. I did his bathroom, built cabinets in his bathroom. His bathroom's bigger than my bedroom, and I have a fairly decent-sized bedroom. Probably twice the size of my bedroom. And there were, gotta see it. Anyway. And when I went to work there, I was told, he did not tell me this, but I was told, and I was able to verify it later, that not only had he built this big house, but 30 feet under, he had a bomb shelter that he had built. He built this house, I think it was somewhere around a $10 million house. He built a bomb shelter 30 feet under, had 3 feet of concrete on top of it. He had it all designed where it would protect him from anything or anybody that tried to get at him. What I was told was that he said, if they try to flood me out, I've got a way for that. It's built to withstand a nuclear attack. He was afraid. He had fears of the government and all that kind of stuff. This man is, as far as I, from what I can tell, from what I heard, he's an ex-CIA member. He's got some enemies, some people. He was part of a group of men that did some things that had some risk involved. And several of those men have been taken out so far. He's one of the remaining ones. I think maybe the only one. I'm not sure. Maybe one or one of two. So he built this house with the most secure thing. It's 30 feet under. It's a 2,000 square foot complex down there. Canned goods and food stuff to last like 2 years. Something like that down there. He's got it stocked. He's got complete living quarters down there. He's got locks and all kinds of security, and he's got a big drain if they try to flood him. He's got some system that gets the water out of there somewhere, a hidden place on his farm there, and pumps it out of there. It's just amazing what he thought of. And he wanted something to keep him safe. And so that's what he did. That was his portion in that area. And he used money, which is also his portion. And he wasn't content, and so he decided to put his house on the market, see what it could bring. And in the ad on the I looked online and I saw the ad, and it had this bomb shelter in there, so I knew that what they were saying was true. Well, one day a young man that was mentally deranged, he believed that the government was about to collapse and that there was going to be a nuclear fallout, and he decided that he wanted to have a place that he could, that would protect him in case of such a thing. And so he, instead of building, he didn't have the money to build one himself, and so he looked and found this place online and said, that's the one that's for me. And so he didn't have the money to buy it, so what did he do? He went to the house at night, climbed a scaffold that was there. They were doing some remodeling. Got upstairs, broke a window, went in. And to this man's house. And went into a room. His daughter was in there. He shot her. In her sleep. Got in a gunfight with the owner, the my customer there, and anyway, the owner was able to chase him off, and he got out of there. They caught him. He's in jail now. So I'm going to read this verse again. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now this man that I did work for has, as far as I know, as much money as he ever had. And there are people that get rich and they stay rich until they die. Every verse in the Bible is true.
Yes, it is.
You can't find a verse that is only true part of the time and then sometimes it's not true. If you looked at the the way this is written, just on the surface, then you would think, oh, it's not a good thing to try to be rich, because you might not stay rich. Because it might go away from you, and then you won't have it anymore. As long as you could keep it, if you could keep it, it would be a good thing. But it's going to fly. It might fly away, and so you better not do it. That's not what this verse has a deeper meaning to that.
Yes.
This man used his money to buy security and for his portion, everything, and it wasn't there for him when he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
It failed him.
Yeah.
Everything, in fact, it's very ironic, but he spent all this money building this bomb shelter, and it was that very thing that occasioned somebody to break into his house and shoot his daughter. It was the cause. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places and castest them down to destruction. Why? Because the Lord has a desire that you and I would make Him His portion, our portion.
Yes, so
he wants us to have the Lord for our portion. The Lord is the strength. My flesh and my heart and my money and everything faileth. Everything that I have is prone to failure.
Yes.
You have a good mind, it's prone to failure. You rejoice, young man, in your youth and all that, and young men are strong. That's going to fail you. Well, don't make that your portion.
That's so, brother. That's
don't so. Make money and things your portion.
That's so.
Yes. You might have those things until you die, but they're not going to be there for you to give you what you need to satisfy your heart.
That's so.
You can have something as your portion, but it will fail you when you need it the most.
That's true.
What this man needed was the Lord to be there for his protector and his portion. Yes, the Lord allows things to happen to people. But the scripture says, all things work together to them that love God. And so that everything that happens to me and you, if you love God, is towards some a good end. It's to make us better. It's to make our heart better. It's to solidify our strength, our trust in God and our knowledge of who God is to us. But for somebody that doesn't put their trust in God, it has none of that. The things that happen are not all, they can't all work together for good because they don't make God their portion.
That's right, brother. That's right.
And so, riches in this man's case made wings and flew away. He had all the money in the bank, and what good did it do him? I hope I'm making sense there. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. I think it was maybe Brother Marty that was preaching one time and had somebody talking about ask a wealthy man, how much is enough? You know what the answer was? A little bit more. Because what I have right now doesn't satisfy me.
Right.
It can't. And so there's many things that people that many people have as their portion. Jesus talked when he told the parable of the sower about people's hearts. And he said, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and become unfruitful. And it's because, the reason he said the deceitfulness of riches, is because it's one of those things that have such a promising glitter to it, and this is what you need, this will protect you, this will defend you. This will satisfy you. And so I'm going to go after that. But then it chokes the good things that really will do more for you than any of that stuff will. I want to encourage you this morning to make the Lord your portion.
Yes, amen.
Jesus had an interview with a rich young man one time. And I want you all to know this morning, You have, It says to labor not to be rich.
There
are many things. I'm using money because it's a very easy example. But there are many other things that you can do to have to be your portion. All right? So we're going to talk about money for a little bit because it's easy. But I'm not picking on any one thing here. Mark 10 and 17. Jesus was... somebody came running to Jesus.
Yes.
Kneeled to him, said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" We know this story. It's a really familiar story. Jesus, we know that what Jesus told him. He said, "Go your way and sell what you have. And give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." You know, Jesus could see down inside that man's heart. And he knew that what was inside that man's heart was, he had to have that because that was his portion. From what I can... This is how I've been inspired to think about this verse. It doesn't explicitly say this, but Jesus knew that everything he came to bring this young man couldn't have because the deceitfulness of riches had choked the benefit that Jesus could give him. Does that make sense?
Yes, brother. Yes.
Like to go to Psalms, the 16th chapter. Psalm 16, verse 5. This is a psalm of David. And I want you to think about David for a minute. David spent years, at least months, I think years, running from King Saul. I look at David and there's a lot of things about him. Remember the story of David and Goliath, and his brothers kind of made fun of him because he was there. And I think about the sacrifice that Samuel told Jesse, "Call your sons to the sacrifice." And he called all of them except David.
Right.
And it's as if, I just wonder if David kind of had what you might call today an inferiority complex, where, and I don't know this for sure, but it just seems like that David had some things in his life that really were against him.
Yes.
Seemed to be. But David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
And the Lord was his portion.
That's so.
He said, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." In other words, everything that's happened to me is from the Lord.
All right.
And it's for my good.
Yes.
And it's something I needed.
Yes.
And I'm going to rest in that.
Yes.
And it's something I wouldn't trade it for anything else. Because the Lord knows what I need, and the Lord knows what path I need to take, and the Lord knows how to fulfill me. The Lord knows how to make me happy. The Lord knows how to protect and defend me. He knows exactly what I need. And so I'm going to bless the Lord because the lions have fallen to me in pleasant places.
Yeah.
He said, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." Now I'd like to follow up with that. I want us to keep the scripture in our mind, and I might go back and read it again. In Ecclesiastes 12 and the first verse, it says, "Remember now thy Creator." In what? In the days of your youth? Why? Is it just because it's more noble to give God the best years of your life? That's a reason. But I think there's a deeper meaning than that in this scripture. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember the story that Jesus told about a man whose ground had really prospered one year? God said when the people were going to go into the land of Canaan, when you go in to possess the land, and you've possessed it, and you've built the houses, and your vineyards have prospered and everything, then I want, you're going to have these feasts. And he set these feasts up. He said, I want you to, when you've eaten and you're full, then thou shalt bless the Lord. And if you have a temptation to get lifted up and say, all this wealth is from my own hand, then thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And so this man that had prospered, he said, I've gotten all this good stuff. You know the Lord is the one that gave it to him. The Lord is the one that blessed his fields. The Lord is the one that gave him the knowledge to know how to strategically plant and harvest and hire people and all that. The Lord is the one where it all came from.
Right.
But he went and he didn't recognize any of that.
That was right.
That was the time that when the Lord, I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to be good to you today.
Yes.
And he is good. He's good to everyone. Yes. But he wants to rain down blessings. I'm not saying that he wants to make you rich. All right? The Lord wants to rain down many blessings, and the Lord wants to give you gifts.
Yes.
The Lord wants you to have a happy, satisfied, fulfilled life today. But many times when the Lord gives us things that are good, we tend to ascribe those things to our own selves. And we say, I can do this. I have such a good mind, I can do this. I'm so strong, I can do this. And then we are tempted to lift ourselves up in it and make sure everybody else knows what we can do. Look what I can do. It's more than everybody else can do, and that's why I need to be somebody here. When instead, those things that the Lord gives, you know, the Lord gives us blessings so that we can appreciate Him and know Him better.
Amen.
And learn about Him.
Amen,
and it's in those times that we need to make the Lord our portion.
Yes, so.
Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Mm-hmm. When you're strong, when you're healthy,
yeah,
when you're prospering, remember where it comes from. Remember what the Lord has done for you.
Yes.
So that you can say, when Job lost everything, the Lord gave. But now the Lord has just, he's taken away. He didn't take away anything more than what he gave in the first place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know that if Job had not made the Lord his portion in the good times, that he would not have been able to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Don't wait for the bad times to try to make the Lord your portion. It's a lot harder.
That's right, brother.
The Lord, it's so easy in the good times to recognize the blessing of God. And then those, when we make the Lord our portion, then we can go into the hard times, which the Lord allows, by the way. And it's all for a purpose. And we can bless the Lord day in and day out and say, the Lord gave, the Lord saw fit to take away. Job's wife did not somehow get there. She said, she was perfectly willing to live her life of luxury while it lasted.
Mm-hmm.
But it all got taken away. And I don't know what all was in her mind. She said, are you still going to make the Lord your portion?
Right.
She didn't say that, but that was in essence what she said.
Right.
Are you still going to maintain your integrity? Verily, you've washed your hands in innocency and cleansed your heart in vain. That's what Asaph said, first scripture we read. This is all a waste of time. Why do you make the Lord your portion now? And Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women.
Speaketh.
What? Shall we not? What shall we receive good from the hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil? And Job maintained that everything, the Lord was his portion.
Yes.
If you wait until all the things, Asaph said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Yes.
The Lord will give you things in life that is very tempting for you to trust in. He may give you strength, great strength. He may give you ability. I knew a man one time, he's dead now, but I knew a man that was a very, very capable person. I bought his house from him. And I saw evidence of what he did in his prime. And many years past his prime. Carvings and lathe work and all kinds of things. He got to where he couldn't even figure out how to start his truck because his mind began failing. You could still carry on a conversation with him. But in all the things that he could do, he couldn't do anymore. Every one of us, the things that we, if we, the Lord will give us things, but we're to use them for him. The talents and the gifts that God, we use them for him. And we don't use those things to be our source of fulfillment in life. God is my portion forever. And that and the things that he gave me, if he gives me money, I'm going to use it for him. If he prospers what I'm the work of my hands, I'm going to say, as the psalmist said in Psalms 116, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits unto me? That's the question that we need to be asking. That's the choice that the man that the Lord prospered had that Jesus was telling about in his parable. But instead, he said, everything that the Lord that the Lord had given him, he didn't acknowledge the Lord, everything that I have, this is my portion.
Yes.
I'm all fixed up now.
Yes.
I wasn't before, now I am. Those things fly away.
Yes.
Strength, money, health, all of those things, mental ability, physical ability, they all make wings and they fly away.
Yes.
But I want to encourage you this morning to make God the strength of your heart and your portion forever.
Amen.